God, I'm gonna sneeze again.
Great way to start a podcast.
I mean, it's not the worst way I've started things.
Well, true.
And if you couldn't tell, this is Straight Edge Gaming. I'm just gonna leave all this in because this is unfiltered.
Yes, sir.
And my guest today is
Chop. Back again after not being a podcast in what, months?
I started to ask how you were, but fuck, we live together.
Yep.
How's it like living with me?
Pretty good. When we are here.
That is very true.
Both of us are so busy, we don't see each other much.
Oh no, I sort of expected you to be like, this is horrible.
You know, I take that back. This is horrible.
Well, anyway, we're covering a topic today of our video games art.
Agreed. I would say yes, because, you know, video games have that fantasy and artistic element.
I mean, I've said yes for years for the exact same reason, but they've also got music and storylines that it can drive any man to tears.
Yeah, especially of a lot of these story-driven games out there, like The Last of Us, God of War, all of them, that creativity goes into that development of the story, the background, the graphics, and all that. Yeah.
Now, have you played Last of Us 2? Because I have not.
I have not, but I've watched playthroughs of it.
Okay, because I know the first one got me.
Yeah, yeah. The first one was well done.
How dare Naughty Dog.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a whole topic for another day. But
it really is. So the way I was going to do this is we both have one game in mind, and we're going to just kind of, I guess we could say, build our case for why that game is art.
Yep.
But you've got the definition of art.
Yes. Before we get into this, I want you all to keep in mind what art is. Now, by the definition, it is the expression or application of human creative skill and imagination. Typically in a visual form such as painting or sculpture, producing works to be appreciated primarily for their beauty or emotional power, which games can do. I will say that, and I'll defend it to the end.
Now, in all fairness, there are games that are just nowhere close.
Oh, of course. Yeah, there's plenty of games out there that don't really have any creative influence. They're just thrown on the screen for your entertainment, like, sorry to say it, but Call of Duty.
I was going to look at Ride to Hell Retribution, but yeah, Call of Duty's a big one.
Like, say Call of Duty or, you know, 2K.
I mean,
or any of the various sporting games out there, sorry to say it.
I love that you said 2K, because mine is from 2K.
Well, okay, that's a fair point. Whoops.
But I get what you're saying, because not all of them.
No, yeah.
2K is very good about making what they want to make.
Agreed.
There is no middle ground with 2K. It's literally art or why is this being made? For laughs.
Action throw up. Just puking it all out there for you.
Like, Borderlands. I love Borderlands to death, and that's 2K, and there is no real rhyme or reason to Borderlands a lot of the time.
Okay. So is that the game you're going with, Borderlands, for your art?
No.
Oh.
I'm going Bioshock.
Bioshock. Okay.
Now, I think you had said you've never played Bioshock.
No, I haven't, unfortunately.
So, I've got to show you this, or it's on PlayStation now, if you get it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's set in the 1960s.
Okay, yeah, I remember it being kind of set in a late period.
Yeah, it basically the idea is a man just got tired of living above ocean water, I guess you could word it that way.
Ocean water, huh?
Yeah.
Not the drink, right?
No, God, no.
Okay.
But he essentially said, you know, I heard her, God, I can't talk today. I've heard all these answers of, like, is a man not entitled to the sweat of his brow? And he goes over all these answers of no, like, the man in the Vatican says, no, it belongs to God. And then, like, you know, somebody will say, no, it belongs to the people. And when you're going into Rapture, the city this is set in, he said, no, I rejected those answers. I said, I want it to belong to whoever that sweat came from.
Right. Okay, so you say the Rapture. Is there, like, any religious influences for this game?
Little bit, but little not bit? Until the third game, really.
Oh, okay.
Which is a drastic change from the first two.
Gotcha. That's what I've heard people say.
Well, the first two were set under the ocean,
mm-hmm.
and then the third game is set in the air.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. The third one has, I think, the better story of the three, but the first one has
the better environment?
That, and I would say probably the most famous plot twist in gaming.
Oh, okay.
And you've probably heard of it. If you don't know what it is, it's Would You Kindly.
I feel like I have. I feel like I should know what that is, but you might have to fill me in here.
All right, so we're entering into spoiler territory if you've not played the game.
Okay.
I would recommend anybody that listens to this play at first. Chop kind of doesn't have a choice here.
Very true, I don't. I'm at his beckoning.
But basically, when you're on a plane during the first cutscene, mm-hmm. and I don't think it ever explains where this plane is going. It's just a man looking at a picture, and he's got a gift in his hand.
Okay.
But the plane goes down.
Oh.
And it basically lands right where Rapture's entrance is. Which is kind of like a, okay, there's no way in hell, but let's roll with it.
Right.
And then you go through all this adventure, and I believe his name is Frank Fontaine. I haven't played the game in a good bit. But he contacts you and says, hey, I know you must feel like the most unlucky person in the world right now, but my family's down here and we need to get out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And every time he contacts you, he'll say this phrase, would you kindly? Which you go through the whole game and you find out you're being controlled by that phrase.
Oh,
that so you're from Rapture.
Kind of like a brainwashing technique, huh?
Yeah, like you jump down into this room and it's just written all over a wall and you find an audio tape there, and this will probably mess with some people. When you listen to the audio tape, it's you as the player. I don't know how they would train a kid to do this, but they did basically train him to say, to whenever he hears the phrase, would you kindly, he just does whatever you ask.
Oh, wow.
Without thinking about it.
Okay.
And in the tape, they tell him, would you kindly kill that dog?
So he kind of becomes the old Bucky Barnes turning into Winter Soldier in Civil War.
Basically. Or not Civil War.
But yeah, Civil War, yeah. Where he gets those numbers repeated to him and makes him brainwash.
Yeah, he's basically an assassin that doesn't know he's an assassin.
Very sneaky. And what a subtle phrase. Would you rather?
Would you kindly.
Or would you kindly, sorry.
And even when you meet who you think is the game's main villain, Andrew Ryan, who is the guy that built Rapture, mm-hmm. he explains it all to you that, you know, hey, you've been being controlled. And this part of the game I don't really get. Because when he's explaining to you, hey, you've been tricked this whole time, he kind of tells you to kill him.
Right.
Ah. It's such a strange cutscene.
Interesting.
But yeah, this game, it's got so many elements to it where it was built in the 1960s. Like, you'll be underwater and you'll hear all this music from the 60s playing on records. And
right.
And it sets a weird tone because you'll be, you know, walking through some dark alley and you'll hear, oh God, what's that song? How much is that dog in the window?
I don't think I've heard of that one.
I'm sure it's one of those, when you hear it, you'll recognize it.
Yeah, probably.
But you'll hear that, and it's just such a dark place, and then all of a sudden you're getting jumped by, like, four people.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Well, now, are these actually people, or are they come some kind of creatures or whatever?
They're people, technically, but there's a influence in the game called plasmids.
Okay.
Which basically lets you throw, like, lightning out of your hand. Yeah, like lightning, they give you like telekinesis, they let you throw fireballs.
Okay.
It's basically they give you superpowers.
Right, okay. Interesting.
And people came so overwhelmed by this stuff that it mutated them, and that's what happened to them. They're just going crazy.
Okay. Well then, okay. In your opinion, to you, what makes BioShock art?
The Big Daddies.
The Big Daddies?
Yeah, I know. You'd have to play this game.
Okay, Big Daddy's. Nothing in
perverted
sounding about that at all.
Oh, it. Just give it a second.
Oh, well. Sorry.
There are children in Rapture. For some reason, they're all little girls.
Well, that doesn't sound bad at all.
No. But it's weird because they're kind of controlled by plasmids and this other thing called Eve.
Okay.
Which kind of give them power over the Big Daddies. So, in a sense, okay. The little girls are, like, collect plasmids and Eve, and so, the Big Daddies protect them.
So, like, the father protecting a daughter type relationship.
Yeah, and it's so strange, because at one point, when you first run into the little sister, you have the option to either, they call it harvesting her, which gives you more Eve.
Oh, wow.
Well, this is how you buy upgrades in the game.
Okay. That still sounds kind of morbid.
It really is, because she turns into a fish.
What? Okay. Go on.
But you can either harvest her, or you can save her, which will kind of reverse all the effects, and then she'll go back to this woman called Tannenbaum, who basically cared for them before everything happened.
Right.
And the way it's set up is, if you harvest them, you get more Eve, or Adam, whatever it was called, but she doesn't survive the process. Or you can save her, and then after you save so many little sisters, you know, one of them will drop off, like, a present for you at the upgrade station.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like okay, which one of this is going to be more worth it?
Oh, okay.
And there are different endings depending on how you do it.
Oh, that's always nice.
Yeah, there's a good, a bad, and like a medium ending.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I think someone added it up, like, you can get every upgrade if you harvest them all. Mm-hmm. But I've never done that.
Why not?
I did it once just to see the ending, and it's not too much different.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But basically, the good ending is after you save all the little sisters and beat the game, all these little sisters, like, float up in, like, escape pods that were never used for some reason.
Of course. Nobody wants to use those. No, not at all.
But, like you and all these little sisters go up, and it's like, oh, okay, cool. We're all... Oh, I'm dead. Because you die of old age at the end of it.
Oh, wow. That's... Wow.
I mean, at least you live a full life.
I suppose so. All right, well, for the game I chose, I actually did tell you before we started this, but I'm actually going to change it up real fast because I thought of something different, another game that holds a good place in my heart. I don't play it as addictively as I was going to originally choose for the game, which was going to be Destiny, because Destiny is my heart. But the one game that I really find influential from like an art department, from a creative development, would be Alien Isolation. A game that came back out in 2014, you know, by Creative Assembly and Feral Interactive. It's a single-player game, and it's very story-driven, which I like.
That's the horror game with, like, your... God, what's her? Ripley's daughter?
Yeah, Amanda. You play as Amanda Ripley, and you investigate the ship. I can't remember the name of the ship right now. I'm sorry. But, yeah, you investigate the ship because you're looking for clues about your mother, about what happened, and what's going on. Because you don't really have any idea about the aliens at this point, you know? You're just...
Yeah.
Amanda Ripley, you're just a mechanic, basically. But, yeah, the reason why I love this game so much is because it draws a lot of influence back to the very original Alien movie, where it's like really close quarters, darkness, you know, they play on your fears with like sounds here and there, like little scuttering in the background. You're like, oh, is that coming at me? Oh no, is the monster coming? But I love it, and because it's just so thrilling of the atmosphere. It goes back to that. You don't know what's in the shadows. You don't know what's stalking. You don't know if you turn around the corner, be a face full of monsters and teeth, or turn on another corner, it's just shadows and hallways. That's what I like about it. And also, I think one of the unique things about this game is it's one of the few games out there that actually has a, I'm trying to think what to call it, randomness to the alien. Like, if you die in one interaction, mm-hmm. and you're going back thinking, you know, okay, you're ready for it, they'll change it up.
I love that.
I did too. I love it. And it got frustrating sometimes. I'm just like, God, mother. Because that alien is one scary mother beeper. And, you know, and it's like, it really gets to you. And for me, I don't get scared easily, all right? But this game actually made me jump a few times, which I was probably really impressive. And I love the mechanics of the game because it's, I guess you could say, kind of like a point and shooter too, but you don't really have any guns. You use a lot of, like, drill guns, you throw like multiple cocktails to try to distract the alien, hide in a closet real fast to try to avoid it. You always gotta be aware of your environments, because I discovered my first playthrough of the game, I was walking down a hallway and like there's water dripping from a ceiling, so like a hole or a vent duct. Think you think of it, walk underneath, next thing I know the alien reached down, grabs me, pulls me up, and I'm dead. I'm like, alright, I like that, and that got me.
See, I've played Alien Isolation, but I didn't make it very far. Like, I never even encountered the alien.
It's...
So I don't know how far I really made it.
It's like, I think... Well, if it's like going straight story interactive, it's probably like 10, 15 minutes into the game. I guess it depends on how fast you actually go through. I mean...
Yeah.
But for the most part, you don't really actually fully experience a lot of alien. Because a lot of times this card is still hidden in shadows, kind of sneaking around. And you also deal with actual other... AIs in the game too, like, you know, people on the ship who are like, they have like good and bad who are against each other. They try to help you, they try to kill you, like that basically. And you also have, there's also robots too in the game, like on the ship, because, like, you know, throughout the alien movie world, they always have like a synthetic.
Oh yeah, they got the androids.
Yeah, the androids, and they're in this game, and they're all like psychotic and trying to kill you also because they think you're the alien for whatever reason. But yeah, it's good. It's really good, and like. I can't remember the entire story, how it progressed, but I did find myself really loving how the story went at the very end. I mean, and it left it open for a sequel, and there's been talks about doing a sequel. Part of me would love for a sequel, but another part of me wouldn't, because I feel like they'd probably ruin it. They'd probably go away from the close-quarter horror atmosphere and probably to, like, who knows, a shooter. Like, they've done a lot of things.
Yeah, we're looking at G Resident Evil.
Yes, yeah. I hate to say that too. It's another one of my favorite games. But yeah, that's why I say it's art, is because it invokes horror through the close quarters, the shadows, the music, and all the environment design is amazing. For whatever they did and how they do it and took their time on it, they did amazing. And I love it. And I want to play this game again right now, honestly.
See, I love horror games, but I can't do horror movies.
Oh,
yeah, I'm very strange in that aspect.
Hey, I grew up horror movie buff. I love horror movies. I love horror games. I love it all. I love anything to do with horror.
Now, have you played The Evil Within?
Yes.
Have you played the second one?
I have not played the second one, no.
I wouldn't play the second one.
Was it that bad or just that scary?
No, they did the whole Resident Evil treatment where they got more action-oriented.
Ah, okay. That's a shame.
To me, the first Evil Within, it was perfect up until the last fight.
Oh.
And then I got there and I'm like, this was pathetic.
Also, too, another thing, going back to Alien Isolation, after I played through it and beat the whole game, I went back, you know, watched good old Mark Plyers play through it. And also, I think that was the first series I saw of Mark Plyer that got me into Mark Plyer. But it was hilarious watching him play through. Like, I knew it was coming, but seeing him react and make me react, it was like we're yelling together. It was great times. But yeah, it's just, that's the one game that I would consider a good art. Just because of the story, graphics, the characters, the development, the atmosphere.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of examples. Like we mentioned earlier, The Last of Us is a great, great example.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know about the second one yet.
Of course, they got God of War. Like, even like you said, going back to the original Resident Evil games, and you could thank a lot of horror games these days for Resident Evil. They laid a trend.
Yeah, especially that action part.
Well, the action part aside. Yeah. What other games out there do we think we consider a good piece of art? We said, like, Last of Us and God of War.
I mean, I would be remiss if I didn't say Borderlands again.
Okay.
Because I know it looks very cartoony, but they did that as a idea to say, okay, nothing else is going to make sense in this game. Let's just make it cartoony.
Right.
And to me, Borderlands, in a weird way, is kind of like old school Looney Tunes cartoons.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah, it has that craziness. Okay.
Yeah, like, every character has, like, a different thing they can do, and they got skills that old... change the game dramatically.
Right. Well, yeah. Okay. Go off that. I got some more games for you. Because we got, like, Detroit Becoming Human out there. We got, you know...
Okay. I mean, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Horizon. You know, I've never played that game, unfortunately.
I played... I'll just say halfway through the game. It's a very beautiful game.
Okay.
But I never finished it.
That's okay. There's a lot of games out there I've started but never finished, like The Witcher, and I know there's another one I did. I can't remember what it was. Red Dead Redemption. Yeah, it's another one I never finished.
Yeah. I mean, you can even go as far as, like, Halo or Gears of War.
You could, yes. Very true. And, like, for me, my personal self, my all-time favorite game would be Destiny, of course. Now, I know despite what you think about Destiny, it has a long record of mishaps and different story developments. And I don't think a lot of people realize like how much of a behind-the-scenes chaos Destiny went through. Because like, originally, Destiny was supposed to be like a focused, linear, story-driven game. But then, of course, you know, good old EA, or not EA, but Activision.
I thought Bungie helped owned Destiny.
It was Bungie and Activision. They were together with this.
That
Activision
explains so much about Destiny.
Activision supplied all the money, advertising. But also Activision, they're the ones that, like, they wanted to make it an open-world RPG. They're the ones that, like, canned the original storyline for Destiny. That's why original Destiny 1 game felt so rushed, because literally 5 months before it was supposed to release, the high ups at Activision canned the original storyline because they didn't like it, and they had them start all over again, and it caused a big chaos. And
Activision strikes again.
And the same thing happened in Destiny 2, and it's, despite what you say about Bungie, I would say Bungie is trying. They're not the best. They have a lot of flaws. Game's in a lot of bad spots, but you can see they have some effort. Don't hate me on that. I love Destiny, all right? I'll defend it to the end, but I'm a realist. I understand where the problems lie.
Yeah, but I mean, and then Bungie also had, like, bigger stuff on their plate, like Halo. Mm-hmm. Like, they knew Halo was their moneymaker. Yeah, so I get why they would focus more on that.
No, yeah, but of course, they kind of broke off of Microsoft, though. So Microsoft kind of took over the production of Halo with 343, right?
Yep, and you can tell a difference instantly.
Yeah, well, apparently there's high hopes for the new Halo game, but I've kind of lost track of Halo at this point, so I don't know.
As soon as we can all buy an Xbox Series X.
Or a PS5.
Don't knock my PS5 now.
Yeah.
Look, I can't help GameStop tweeted when I had my phone in my hands.
It was like a blessing.
It really was.
Lucky.
I mean, I ain't gonna lie. My first thought when I opened it was eBay.
Well, I don't know how we get y'all's reaction, but if y'all find a way, comment, you know, if you don't know any of us. I'd love to know what your opinions are on what you think is art for video games and what your top games are.
Absolutely. And if there's a game we haven't mentioned, let us know, because I'd love to play them.
Agreed. I'd love to get back into some more story-driven games, take a break from all this action, multiplayer, and all that stuff.
Yeah, I can't do multiplayer much anymore. My reflexes are trash now.
Well, same. I kind of got more into the open-world RPG games myself these days.
I mean, I don't think you've played at Zombie Army.
No, I haven't, actually.
I love Zombie Army.
I can tell. Friday night bro night.
There's nothing like shooting Nazi zombies. True. Not the Call of Duty kind.
Well, looks like we could probably thank Call of Duty for starting that trend.
Yeah, but I would go as far to say Zombie Army perfected it.
Okay, I like that.
Because sure, Call of Duty zombies have bosses, but there's nothing like Zombie Army, because they pull out like heavy gunner zombies, like flamer zombies.
Ah.
They're suiciders.
Suiciders, oh lord. That sounds fun, actually.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then there's like so much more variety in weapons, I think, because you can pick like SMGs, shotguns, handguns, whatever.
Okay, good variety. I like it.
Yeah, and you have perks.
Hey, that's one thing. Well, I guess they do have it in Call of Duty Zombies, but probably not as in depth.
No, that's, I think COD Zombies, there's like, what, 7 perks?
Something like that, yeah.
Zombie Army, there's like 50.
Ah, wow, that's a big difference. You know, 750.
And they all change the gameplay of it. Because, okay, like, there's one that if you get headshots, it replenishes health.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. I know we probably got off topic a little bit here, but, you know, it's all about games. I love for games.
Well, you know, it's what we do.
And I definitely recommend, if y'all haven't played Alien Isolation, check it out. It's on the PS4. Probably on the PS5 now, so I'm not really sure. It says I don't have a PS5, you know.
It ain't like there's many other games.
Well, that's true.
I mean, if you want to turn around, you can see all my collection, all 3 of them.
I know.
And Resident Evil is one of them.
Yeah. Well, any last words?
Ooga booga.
Okay. Well, all right.
All right. Well, you have any last words?
No, I just say it. Just check out Alien Isolation if you haven't. I recommend it.
All right. Well, ooga booga.
Ooga booga.